Welcome to episode 182 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Today we're going to continue our multi-episode look at the results of the 2009 Hokkaido Photography Tour, affectionately known as the Winter Wonderland Workshop. As a recap, I led a tour around central and eastern Hokkaido, the north island of Japan, from February 16th to the 24th, 2009. If you're new to the show but would like to catch up before we move on, go back and listen to episodes 178 and 179 first, as they kind of precede this podcast. We pick up the trail on the morning of the 19th of February, which is the fourth day, having made our way over to a small fishing town called Daosu on the eastern side of the Shiretoko Peninsula, which is a UNESCO registered natural heritage site and a national park. So let's just jump right back into it on that fourth day. As I said at the end of the last episode in this series, after the dawn shoot on the third morning at the Bihoro Pass, we took a steady drive over to the Shiretoko Peninsula. And this is the horn-shaped peninsula that you can see jutting out, heading slightly upwards from the eastern side of the island of Hokkaido. The eastern tip of the peninsula is the most eastern point in all of the Japanese islands. The area is rich with wildlife due to the plankton which feeds on the nutrients that is carried down by the ice flow from the Sea of Ohotsk on the Russian coast. On the other side of the peninsula is the town of Utoro, where we'll be heading later in the day, and they often have ice flow coming right up to the shore, and sometimes leaves large chunks of ice washed up on the beach. On the Daosu side, the ice flow is less pervasive. I've been to Daosu when the ice was in so far as it almost filled the harbour, but generally that doesn't happen for very long spells. Even at Utoro, you can have ice up on the beach on one day and then none in sight the next. It comes in and goes out very quickly. The eagles that we were here to photograph need the ice flow to perch on to feed. They make the eastern side of the peninsula their home because it's warmer this side, as the cold air from Siberia buffets the western Utoro side and takes away a lot of its strength. So, by the time it gets over to this side, it's not as cold. Also, this port, because it doesn't get frozen solid for very long, the fishermen are active much more than the other side of the peninsula, and that means rich picking for the eagles. On the day that we planned to go out to photograph them, the fishermen were all having a day off, which means that the fish, the only fish that were going to be coming the eagles' way from humans was going to be from us. This was going to work in our favour. Last year, the ice had been so far up the coast that it was, there was bad weather, and this meant that the eagles would not be able to see us up near the ice and therefore wouldn't fly out to get some fish from us. As the organiser of the tour, having driven up the coast with the skipper of the boat that we were planning to go out on, while the other participants were shooting back in town, it was a pretty painful but necessary decision not to put out last year. There was just no point. This year, though, based on weather conditions, the skipper had devised a plan to take us to the ice flow that they knew had rounded the tip of the peninsula, and if we were to leave a little bit later than planned, it would be clear so the eagles would be able to see us. And, because we were going to be going out there pretty fast, the plan was to just, really put the foot down on the boat and cover some distance pretty quickly, get out to the ice flow, and then spend a few hours out there. So basically what we did was we teamed up with a second boat for safety, basically, if we were to hit some ice that the skipper wasn't aware of and get into trouble, it would be better if we'd got another boat with us. So we headed out there. And we set out a lot later. Normally, we try to leave like 5:30, and we're on the sea by the time the sun starts to rise. But on this day, we because of the conditions and everything, we decided to put out at 8:30 a.m. The conditions were excellent. The light was pretty much constant, though sometimes I had to ask the skipper to come around so that we had the light falling on the birds more favourably. But in generally, it was perfect. Hasegawa-san is the skipper of the boat. He's very good at his job. He knows most of the time what we want and how to manoeuvre a pretty big boat around with unbelievable precision to get us to the best positions. We don't bait the birds heavily. We just throw enough out to get them interested. If you do throw a whole pallet of fish out onto the ice, then you basically just get a frenzy, and it's not good photographically. They hand throw a small number of fish into strategic positions on the ice floe, and that helps to get a small number of birds in some shots and keeps others flying around looking for their opportunity to grab some tucker. Although I've had some very nice straight portraits of the Stellar Eagles from this location and a number from this trip as well, let's just jump straight into looking at something a little bit more dynamic. Let's look first at image number 2155. Here we can see an eagle perched on an ice, a chunk of ice there, tucking into his fish, and another with wings spread out, almost looking as though he's sort of shocked that the other eagle has got some fish. Probably even more shocked that it's frozen, but I guess they're used to it. Finding and shooting moments with movement like this will take your shots to a slightly higher level than just standing on the ice. Some of the guys came back with shots of the eagles with fishes in midair as the eagles tossed them up into their mouths, which I have to admit, I didn't even see happen at the time, and I was pretty envious. This part, it's all part of the fun, just sort of seeing what you can see and catching what you can. You have to have the camera up at your eye all of the time, pretty much, and just searching for stuff interesting. Look will often be a major factor in deciding whether or not you get the shot. Of course, though, no amount of luck can make sure that your exposure's set and that you focus correctly and that you press the button at the right time. But looking in the right direction when something starts to happen really helps. It can be tough, though, physically as well. Most of us had long lenses on, and I shot with a 300mm f2.8 with the 1.4 extender fitted most of the time, as I did here, as I used for this shot. I had my ISO set to 200 for faster shutter speeds, which was, in this case, 1/1600th of a second at f5.6. It can be tough going to hold a camera up to your eye for that long, you got it right up there, at least close to your face, often looking through the viewfinder. And you're doing that for a good 2 hours. It can be a little bit strenuous. You've got to do it, though, waiting for the right moment. If you try to sort of look out just in a normal position with the camera down, as soon as you see something happen, try to raise it and focus on that, it can often be too late. I also use the 70-200 f2.8 lens for a lot of shots, too. Sometimes the birds came in so close to the boat that you need a wider focal length to just fit them in the frame. But also, I wanted to get some shots with the birds in their environment. And an example of that will be image number 2156, where we can see a bunch of stellar sea eagles and white-tailed eagles, mostly sitting in the ice floe, but with the Shirutoko Peninsula in the background. This was shot at 190mm, again at f5.6 for 1/1600th of a second. This means that this aperture means that the mountains are slightly soft, but I'm not too worried about that. At this point, I was also concentrating on keeping my camera set to capture action closer by, filling the frame with an eagle. So I'd basically left the camera where it was at f5.6. Note too that there's just one stellar sea eagle in flight coming into the scene from the right. And I feel that something like this is pretty necessary to give enough interest to sort of lighten up an otherwise pretty boring shot. The birds on the ice alone, in my opinion, wouldn't be that interesting, but this bird in flight makes the image worth looking at least. In the next shot, which is number 2157, I decided to adjust the aperture a little bit. I think I was feeling a little bit brave here. Tried to get a little bit more depth of field in the image. Firstly, because I'd got the mental bandwidth at this point, I think, to make the changes. I risked not being able to get a narrower depth of field quickly if I needed to, but I also just sort of, I changed the aperture because the main subject was a little bit closer than in the last image. And I was really conscious of trying to get a little bit of sort of landscape in there as well. Here we have, in the background, we can see the Kuril Islands, or Kunashirito, as the Japanese know it. And, we can see a large snow-capped volcano on the island over there in the background. And it's actually part of Russia. So these waters are, we're almost sort of in the middle of the strait there. And if, the Japanese have been trying to get the Russians to give these islands back to them for years. But there's a lot of politics behind all that, which I don't pretend to understand. All I know is that, if you get too close, if you go much further than this, the Russian Coast Guard comes along and blows you out of the water. So it's a slightly strange feeling. I mean, stopped down here to f11. I now needed a shutter speed of 1/320th of a second, still at ISO 200. Another thing to note here is that many of my best shots from this location had seagulls in them, and very often they were close to the boat and very annoying. More often than not, I had a series of shots where you can see the scene building until a point where I was just going to be right on the money, and then a gull just flew right across the middle of the frame, just at the worst possible time. This shot was no exception. Some of them, it actually, the gull went right over the center part, not the center, but the part where the main subject was, which really just can't be, nothing can be done about that. But this shot, basically had in the bottom part of, that large chunk of ice on which the Stella's sea eagle was sitting. That large chunk of ice there had a seagull flying right across the front of it, and it just made it look such a mess. The thing is here, what I did, I prefer the wing positions in this shot, so I basically took the second shot. Another shot. I think it was the frame before this, where there was no gull in the shot, and I basically just opened them up in Photoshop as layers. You can select two images now, and in the edit options in Lightroom, you can just open them up as layers in the same image in Photoshop. And I just sort of painted the ice with no gull into this shot, and just sort of masked it out. It was, it's one of those things, like I said, I'm getting a little bit more brave in these areas now. I'd got both shots, and I just thought that this was good enough to warrant a little bit of saving. I was in two minds whether to do something similar in the next shot too, but I didn't. In image number 2160, we see a Stella's sea eagle feeding with a white-tailed eagle trying to get in on the action. I kind of like the totally indifferent look on the second Stella's seagull's face here as he looks the other way. But in one of my other frames of this image, of this scene, he's looking right into the scene. He's looking, he's looking over to the middle of the frame. And I thought about merging this one as well for a much sort of better overall composition, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I think he's probably just too big in the frame, and I'm not that brave yet. Maybe someday I'll come back to it, but for now, this is exactly as shot. I was using the 300mm f2.8 with the 1.4 extender again for this with the aperture set to f5.6 for 1/2000th of a second at this for this shot. A good example of behavior to make your shots a little bit more interesting can be seen in image number 2161, where we can see a stellar seagull dancing with his shadow. We can see the eagle with his wings spread and his right foot up in the air, almost like a Native American doing some sort of a ritualistic dance. The shadow of the right wing also reminds me a little of Native American art. The shadow itself to the left wing shadow over on the right side of the frame is a little bit clipped. It doesn't worry me too much. I think there's enough of the shadow there and it's well balanced. Overall, pretty happy with this shot. It was made at f6.3 for 1/2000th of a second at ISO 200. The fast shutter speed, of course, here helping to freeze the snow kicked up. And that adds a lot of impact to the shot. It's sort of totally tack sharp where it needs to be, you know, the whole image. And to top it off, there's a nice catch light in the eye, which improves wildlife photography no end. We can see another nice catch light in a little bit more closer this time in image number 2162. This is a juvenile white-tailed eagle flying very close to the boat. I'd been tracking this one and didn't expect it to come so close, but shot the image anyway. The white-tailed eagle is, as an adult, it is just a huge bird. It's got a wingspan of 238 centimetres, so it's really quite a treat when these birds come up close. The juveniles, at this size, are not much smaller than a fully grown adult. The stellar seagulls that we looked at earlier have a slightly larger wingspan at 240 centimetres, and that's about 8 feet, so I'm sure you can appreciate how amazing it is to get this close to these huge birds. Despite having cut off the wings and the tail with this tight crop, I'm happy with the image because I think it makes a nice animal portrait. As I say, with that sort of nice catch light, we have the torso in pretty close, and there's lots of detail in the feathers, and then we've got those beautiful leather feet tucked in under the body there, next to the tail, against the tail, right to the right of the frame. And again, this one was shot at f6.3 for 1/2000th of a second. And there's a nice separation with the sky, slightly out of focus, blue sky with some wispy clouds making a nice background. Another action shot, a little bit tongue-in-cheek there, is image number 2166, as this stellar seagull pounces on a frozen fish. Again, tack sharp with light in the eyes and wonderful detail in the entire bird. This is another where I couldn't help but just rescue an image, a good image from an intruding seagull. This is probably the best of a short series of shots that I got. Again, seagull came in right at the wrong time, just at the wrong time. Stuck his fat head in the bottom left corner of the image, and I basically just had to clone it out. I didn't sort of want to waste this one. It's the sharpness, the light in the eyes, everything. I'd opened up the aperture just marginally here to 5.6 and adjusted the shutter speed to 1/2500th of a second, still at ISO 200. Not only can you tell that we were in pretty bright conditions. I hope you can also appreciate how much we're helped by the light reflecting back off the snow of the ice floes to fill in all of the shadows that we might otherwise get from this very bright sunlight bathing the scene. We spent a good couple of hours on the boat shooting these wonderful birds, and there are a bunch of other shots from this shoot on my website. I'll put a link to display all of the images from the trip in the show notes again, so do take a look if you're interested. After the eagle shoot, on request from some of the participants, we took a little bit more time to shoot in the Daosu Harbour, and before we started a relatively long drive to the other side of the Shiritoko Peninsula. In the summertime, it's a leisurely drive across the mountains to the other side, takes about 30 minutes or so. But in the winter, the road is impassable, so it takes us about 3 hours to drive to the base of the peninsula and then up around the other side, taking about, like I say, about 3 hours. But the road, although you drive through towns and things as well, sometimes you go through some beautiful, wonderful scenery. And so it's actually a nice drive as well. As we started up the western side, the western coast of the peninsula, we saw the ice flow that was right up to the shore here. And it was amazing to see how the sea undulated and sort of swelled under the ice, lifting tons of crushed ice. And then as the waves sort of made their way up to the shore, it was just a very strange feeling. It was as though the waves were sort of somehow held back, and yet the power there of the sea was not going to let the ice stop it completely. Very strange feeling to look at. I've got some still shots on my gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com, but it's difficult to capture without being able to see the motion, at least to capture the feeling. I waited for some of the waves to crash against the shore. We got off the bus later and photographed this. I waited for some of the waves to sort of crash against the shore and the rocks, and then it sprays up into the air, giving a little bit of a dynamic feel. Those images are two images, one with the waves pretty small and one with them pretty large. They're up on my website. But to really try to capture this, I did try to shoot some video with the 5D Mark II. But I haven't really looked at it yet. As I feared, right now, it's still something that I've totally gotten into my head. I have been shooting clips of video with the 5D Mark II, and I'm looking forward to checking out all of the clips that I shot on the tour. But because it doesn't excite me as much as still images, I've just not prioritized, making time to look at these video clips over a lot of the other stuff that I'm doing right now. We stopped again at the Oshin Falls, as we did last year, and I decided to try something a little bit different this time. I do enjoy taking a section of the waterfall and just slow shutter speed to sort of make the water, look like it's flowing. But this time I decided to do something different, and we can see that in image number 2170. There was a tree, or probably should say a bush, a small tree, with some brown leaves still on the twigs, which I thought would make a nice focal point. I still took some straight shots of the falls, but thought this would be different. And what I did was I basically used a Singray variable ND filter to dial in some darkness. Not a lot for this shot. I went down to a quarter of a second at f11. And I had reduced the ISO to 100 and was using the 70-200mm f2.8 lens at 200mm for this. I was conscious, with regards to the composition, I was conscious to keep that rightmost branch so that it fell over some white water, making it stand out more. And I was also keeping my eye on those three balls in the top left part of the screen, the frame. I didn't want those too close to the edge, so that I've sort of positioned it so that they were there. Also positioned the water itself what I was trying to do was to keep the snow at the edges of the falls out of the right and the left sides of the scene. So I moved the camera back and forth and moved it around a little bit, trying to keep it just how you see it here. It took a little bit of thought. I do have some snow creeping into the bottom of the frame here, behind the leaves. I don't like it, but I couldn't really avoid it. And so, this is what I ended up with. Also, notice that the tree takes about two-thirds of the image, with mostly water taking up the last third. Using the rule of thirds there, I do employ that a lot. And all of these things I was basically just keeping in mind while thinking of how to compose the shot. As the sun got close to the horizon at the end of the day, we got back on the bus and drove down a little bit further towards the town of Utoro. And there are these two rocks, it's probably actually one rock, but they're split almost into two, that we can see in image number 2173. These rocks are not that well known, but I've shot them a number of times over the years. In the summertime, you can shoot the sunset right through the rocks, but in the winter, the angle's much more acute. We were literally running from where we parked the bus to get to this position, far enough along the coast to be able to see the sun through the rocks. And we, you know, basically there's very little. Obviously, you can see how low the sun was here now, and there's very little space. So we were like crowded into a 6 feet across line. All sort of pointing our cameras up, trying to get the tripods into position without, you know, getting in each other's way as much as possible, shooting through, you know, over each other's shoulders and that. And basically, as we got set up, the sun was right there, and I noticed a seagull flying in towards the sun over the top of it. I got one shot as it came across. That was my insurance shot. And then a second shot as it started to bank back around, and it was over the right side of the sun. And then the third, right as it went over the fattest part of the sun, and that's this one. And so, you know, I was kind of willing it to do so, and it did. And it was one of those moments where I'm thinking, you know, that's really exactly what I wanted to happen. And it all came together. Very small. In the web version, if you're looking on an iPhone or an iPod, you might as well forget it, but this looks great in a print. So I'm really happy that we made it here and not only got the sun through the rocks, but it was also lucky enough to get the seagull just sort of fly right across the front of the sun. So the sun had gone down on the end of the fourth day, and we headed back to the hotel for a night, probably in the best hotel that we stay in, the Shiretoko Daiichi Hotel. And it's a beautiful place, and they have an amazing buffet. I got a few shots this year to use in marketing material for next year, but it really is a great place. And we would be saying goodbye to Forrest and Jorg, two of the participants that were only with us for the first leg on the following lunchtime. So we pushed the boat out a little bit more than usual, ordering one or two bottles of sake more than we probably should have done, but we had a good time. The following morning, we visited the Shiretoko Nature Center, and we had a walk through the woods out towards the coast. And as we turned the corner, two wonderful Ezo deer stags were walking right towards us, and I managed to capture them, as we see in image number 2174. I blew the snow out just a little bit here, as you know, although I'd just set my exposure moments earlier, they were as the deer came around here, they were in the open, just sort of with some light covering of bare branches above. So I was a little bit out, but those 14-bit raw files helped here. So I was able to bring the snow under control and retain plenty of detail in the rest of the shot in Lightroom. The exposure for the stags was perfect, though. So, you know, at 1/160th of a second, f/4, ISO 100, I was pretty happy with the results. I shot a few frames as they walked towards us, but I like this one the most, with the, you know, the stags in almost the same position, the same pose, with the horns on either side of the frame sort of mirroring each other. They walked off into the woods to the right of the frame here, and we walked back and shot them in another opening for a while, sort of standing with the snow coming up to just over our knees, and kneeling in the snow for a lot of the time as well. The results weren't that great, though, so I didn't upload any of these shots from, you know, while they were in an opening. The walk through the woods and over through the reserve into the park was nice. We had a really pleasant morning in general. We shot some more deer, and there's a lighthouse on the hill up there. And, you know, really, like I said, just a pleasant sort of morning. I uploaded one other deer shot from this section of the trip. And then basically we walked back to the bus, and after a brief stop at the souvenir shop, we had to leave by about 11 a.m. to get over to the airport to drop the two guys off that would leave us. On the bus, on the way over though, we recorded a comment or two from each of the guys, which I'm going to use to sort of play us out now before we finish with a few more comments. So here's the clip.
Okay, so here we are on the bus again, like last year. We're on the way over to the Memambet Airport. We're going to lose two members today, which is a little bit sad, and then three participants and myself are going to head on for another 4 days. But it's been a great week so far, and I just thought we'd do a quick round table and introduce to who we are and all of that, and maybe talk a little bit about the highlights of the week. And let's see, who wants to go first?
Hi there. My name's Ade. I, at the moment, live and work in Tokyo. Although I've been in photography for a few years now, this has actually been my very first photo workshop, and I've really had the opportunity to push a lot of the equipment that I have, my camera, the 1D, and a few of the lenses that I have to the limit. The 1D camera that I've had has really stood up to the severe weather conditions that we've had to endure, the extreme cold. And over the few days that we've been here, the shots that I've taken with the lenses that I've had have been absolutely amazing. During the course of the trip, I've also had the opportunity to speak to a lot of the other guys on the bus with me, who were absolutely brilliant. They obviously have a lot more experience than I have, because they've been in photography a lot longer than I have. But you know, that we've all been able to bounce ideas off each other. So in short, that this trip for me has been absolutely brilliant. I don't think we could have hoped for anything better than that. So Martin's been a good man, you know. He's looked after us. We've been well fed. I think we're all going to have to go on a diet after this. But it's been absolutely spot on. I very much doubt if I could complain of anything on this trip, mate.
What's been the highlight for you?
The highlight of this trip, I would say, has been the boat trip out to the ice, yeah, to see all the eagles. That's been absolutely brilliant. I think we've also had a great deal of luck on this trip, being at the right place at the right time. And I was telling you a few moments ago when we went off to the... I was saying a few hours ago, or minutes ago rather, when we were in the national park, that if you had actually come back to pick up your gloves, that there's a possibility that would have missed those two deers coming towards us. So I think we've been extremely fortunate on this trip, you know, in terms of timing and weather conditions.
So you're a manual shooter now as well, right? You've finally got the hang of why you need to go to manual.
Yes, I mean, up until this trip, I've always sort of like stuck to AV and TV mode, and I know Martin's always been, you know, pounding into me, you know, switch over to manual, and that was one of the things I really tried to focus on this trip, to you know, move into manual. There are a few chances that you'd miss because you'll have the wrong exposures. But once you get to grips with using manual, you will never go back to using TV or AV again, because the shots that you come out with, right, the quality of the shots, you just will not achieve these with TV or AV mode.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Yeah? Okay, Forrest.
Hey, my name is Forrest Brown. I live in Los Angeles. I'm actually... in Tokyo for a few months on vacation, and I heard about Martin's workshop and thought it sounded pretty interesting and decided to check it out. I had not done a whole lot of bird photography before this, so this was quite a bit of new stuff for me. It was really a lot of fun and definitely pretty interesting. Learned quite a few new techniques, and Martin talking about shooting the manual was definitely very helpful. I had never done that before.
How about your highlight of the week?
I guess my highlight again was going out in the boat to the ice floe and the eagles. It was just amazing the number of birds there were. And even though I only had the 70 to 200 lens. You know, the eagles were flying close enough where I got some pretty amazing shots.
You have a 1.4 extender on, right?
Yes, and a 1.4 extender. Yeah, overall, the whole trip was pretty amazing. We got to, you know, go to the cranes and the swans and the deer here at the end. Some fantastic locations, the hotels, and all the food were amazing. Overall, a very excellent trip. Martin was super friendly, and everyone in the bus was great. We all had a good time hanging out, showing each other photos, and you know, seeing what everyone else was working on. Yep. So it was a good time.
Great. Thanks very much, Forrest. Yo.
Hi, I'm York. I'm working and living in San Francisco Bay Area, California. I was lucky enough to be able to come by and add this workshop to a business trip to Japan. And it's been, I'm very, very happy that I did this on relatively short notice. Martin accommodated me in the last, I think, 2 weeks before the workshop actually started. Martin's organization of this trip has really been outstanding. Everything worked as planned, from the hotels, from the bus, from getting us onto the airplane and hopefully back to Tokyo. And so this was all great. I think the hotels were good. The food was excellent. As for highlight of the week, it's clear for me as a bird photographer is the boat trip to see the eagles on the ice floes. I mean, this was just absolutely outstanding. It's something which you probably cannot experience anywhere else, is my guess. And so this was absolutely fantastic. This was also my first workshop. I started bird photography and bird photography specifically about 3 years ago. And it was very interesting for me to see the dynamics in a group and learn some of the tricks Martin and some of the more experienced photographers have developed and are using in their photography, specifically in areas which I'm not so familiar with, like landscape photography. I learned a couple of things. And of course, it's always fun to talk about gear and post-processing and different philosophies. And so overall, it was an absolutely exciting trip. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Hi, I'm Aaron Smith. I'm a returner on Martin's workshop this year. A repeat customer, repeat offender. I really enjoyed this workshop last year, obviously, since I'm here again. But it was my first workshop, and I had no standard by which to judge how great it was, although I enjoyed it. I've since been on other workshops, and I can say that Martin's both his manner and method of organizing the trips and everything has just been first rate, and I now have some more context on that. Everyone's mentioning the trip on the boat out to the ice floe as their highlight, but I'm going to have to mention it as well, because last year, due to weather, we weren't able to do it, and it's been a real treat that we went out this time. It's been great also to come back and go to the same places and yet look for different shots and see different obviously wildlife is so unpredictable, so it's been very rewarding. Always learn a lot around photographers. You know, being with six in hardcore photography people, you come out of it learning so much. And I highly recommend workshops. If you haven't been on one, you'll come away with new techniques and a big shopping list.
That was the same as last year, right? We all went home, and I bought an iPod Touch because of you. I bought a new ball head because of Graham and the what's the guy called? Don Zek. Yeah, I bought some of those. I bought one from a 300mm and the 600mm. And you walk away with a big shopping list. The cost isn't just coming, it continues when you go home. So, Graham, do you want to say
a word? Yeah, about there?
Yeah.
Graham Morgan's my name. I'm from Australia, and this is my second time on the workshop. Had a wonderful time last year, but if anything, this year's was even better. Sure, we went to the same places, but it was really different. There's two things up here that you just can't do anywhere else. One of the cranes, and they're the same birds again this year, but they were different. The images are all different. You wouldn't think it was the same place. They were just doing different stuff. And of course, the Stellar Sea Eagles, and that really is just spectacular.
Yeah.
Nowhere else can you see that.
No.
No, you just can't get that close. And they just perform for you. It was just superb. Of course, that was one of the highlights, but I think last night's buffet would go close as well.
Yeah.
That was a ripper.
The Shiritoko Prince Hotel is pretty amazing. It's an amazing buffet. Shiritoko Daiichi Hotel.
So look, great images, great company. Spending the week with like-minded individuals is just a buzz. I've had a wonderful, wonderful time. Yep. And I'll probably come back next year.
Okay. Well, no, that's great. Thanks very much, everybody. So, like I say, we are going to be going on. We've got three participants plus myself are going to be going on for 4 more days. And so we're going to work on some landscape photography more from now. We did have, going through the week, there was a few things that went really well and a few that didn't. And for the first day was relatively good. We got a lot of crane shooting in. But then the second day, there was no mist on the river, and that was a big disappointment to begin with. Last year we were lucky to get it. It doesn't happen that often. And then when we went over to the Kushero Lake, and there was no, it wasn't frozen. And I don't know historically how many years this is, but I met a guy there that I met on a workshop, one of my first workshops here. And he said that he's been traveling to the lake for 20 years and he's never known it to be frozen, not frozen in February. So that kind of put a different slant onto the swan shoot there. But, being the sort of creative people that everyone is, everybody found stuff to make something out of the situation. And so, we still ended up having a very good afternoon there. It was windy, though. I think with the wind chill, it was probably at least minus 10, maybe a little bit more. So people were generally pretty cold by the end of the afternoon, but... that we turned it into something. And then the following morning we went to the Bihoro Pass, and that was like, there was hoarfrost everywhere, and it was just, that was an amazing morning. We went early, way before dawn, so that we could get up onto the mountain. There's a bit of a hike up the mountain, not far, but a little bit of a hike up the mountain. And when we got to the top, after a few moments there was just an amazing the light in the sky before sunrise, and we all started to get a few shots of that. And then the clouds rolled in, the warmth from the sun as it started to hit the horizon, the clouds just rolled in, and it was pretty much gone. But then that became a big light box, and because of the moisture in the air that was freezing everywhere, the hoarfrost was like on the trees. We got some great shots of the on the lens hoods. Tripod legs were all covered in frost. That was another thing. It was a great morning, and so even before like 8 o'clock in the morning there, we'd had an amazing time. Those things went well. Some things didn't, but as Aaron just said, we were able to go out on the boat to shoot the ice flow is very temperamental. The horn shaped Shiritoko Peninsula is actually the ice actually comes in from the Ohotsk Sea on the top part, the northern side of the peninsula. But then it has to come around there and work its way down the coast for the seabirds the sea eagles, Stellar Sea Eagles, and the white-tailed eagles to go out there, because they all roost on the other side of the peninsula where it's a little bit warmer, protected from the winds. This year the ice flow came quite a way around, and we were lucky enough that the skipper of the boat just really tanked it along the coast, very close to the Kuril Islands. I think we were almost torpedoed out of the sea by the Russian authorities, but we had a great time there. We had a good 2 hours out with the eagles, and it was just amazing. And so we've been up, had a walk in the Shiritoko Shizen Center, or whatever it is. So that's like the nature center. It's a nature reserve up there, lots of deer. And so we've had a bit of luck there again this morning. And so now we're heading over again, like I say, to the Memambetsu Airport. And we're going to drop off Yorg and Forest and then head on. We'll probably do this again, maybe do this again in 4 days' time when we finish the second leg of the tour. And we'll, we'll be back then. So I want to say quickly again, thanks to everybody for coming. I know that we're not all leaving right now. It's been a pleasure, you know, travelling around with you, and thanks for trusting me, and we'll hopefully see you again sometime.
So that ended the first leg of the tour. I, having just played that back for the first time, I hadn't listened to that since I got back. I didn't realise I'd said that much. I think I've repeated a number of things today. But like I say, we were to go on to move on to the landscape photography part of the tour in the central part of the island after this. There was a storm brewing though, and we had, you know, as we made our way over to the hotel between Utoro and the Taisetsuzan mountain range where we were going to spend the night, we were caught in a pretty nasty snowstorm. We made it to the hotel in the late afternoon and settled in for the evening. The following day, we would drive to Mount Asahi, where we were hoping to go to the top of the mountain in a cable car and shoot the highest peak in Hokkaido in February. So it felt a little bit strange, but you know, we were going to give it a bash, weather permitting. Tune in again next week to see how we get on as we start the second leg of the tour. For now, though, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.